This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. President Bush repeatedly has demanded that the Taliban hand over Osama bin Laden.
I will say it again. If you cough him up and his people today, that we reconsider what we're doing to your country. You still have a second chance. Just bring him in. And bring his leaders and lieutenants and other thugs and criminals with him.
The president's offer reiterated last week. The Taliban has refused to comply with Bush's terms, and one expert says it never will comply. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with the author of the book Taliban at his home in Lahore, Pakistan.
Ahmed Rashid's expertise is the Taliban, but he has his own theory on what's behind the president's calls for the handover of Osama bin Laden.
It's basically, I think, a bid to try and appease Muslim anger, the protests that have erupted all over the Muslim world. I don't think many U.S. officials right now would be believing that these offers would yield anything.
In his book, Ahmed Rashid makes a case for why the Taliban won't hand over Osama bin Laden, quite simply because they can't survive without him.
There is the 5-5 Brigade, the Arab Brigade, which fights for the Taliban. It's a regular brigade of troops with armor, artillery, about 800 men, and it is totally funded by bin Laden. He's been building roads for them, houses, garrisons, camps. Bin Laden and his forces, his money, and his influence, it is now so embedded in the Taliban movement. He has so much influence over the Taliban leader, Mullah Muhammad Omar. And in fact, what we've seen in recent days is some of the rhetoric and speeches made by Mullah Omar. And as I know his rhetoric very well over 7 years, they're completely different from anything you've seen in the past. This is the rhetoric of bin Laden.
You're saying in a way that Mullah Omar is in a sense a mouthpiece for bin Laden?
Well, I wouldn't say a mouthpiece, but let me say that, you know, he's very, very heavily influenced by him. And one of the big mistakes of the U.S. policymakers who were trying, you know, Clinton and Bush, who were trying to negotiate with the Taliban, was that they failed to understand that these two had cemented extremely close links at least 2 years ago.
I also gather that as the rest of the world increasingly shunned the Taliban, that it was bin Laden who actually is giving the Taliban access to the outside world.
Yes, I think that's very true. I mean, you know, since the UN Security Council sanctions on the Taliban in January, bin Laden has virtually been running their foreign policy because they have been totally isolated from the outside world. But his networks in the Gulf, in the Middle East, have been able to continue providing arms and ammunition, the smuggling of consumer goods, the drugs trafficking that has been going on to raise money for these ventures. He is both a business partner and a foreign affairs partner.
When you talk about Osama bin Laden making foreign policy for the Taliban, what would that policy be?
Well, you know, I mean, in ideological terms, bin Laden has elevated Mullah Omar and the Taliban to being the model for the Islamic world. And the Taliban now themselves have come to believe this. And what they're saying is that we in Afghanistan have constituted the most perfect Islamic state since the Prophet Muhammad lived 1400 years ago, and all Muslims should now follow this. Now, this is a concept that was first given to the Taliban, in fact, by bin Laden.
Would it not finally get to a point where the bombing and the possibility of the Taliban just being totally destroyed, would that not outweigh Osama bin Laden's power over the group?
Well, it appears not, because clearly without bin Laden, the Taliban would probably crumble even faster, and not at the hands of the Americans, but at the hands of the opposition Northern Alliance. And I think bin Laden is a key sort of bolster for their belief that they can militarily survive an American attack.
Ahmed Rashid is author of Taliban, Militant Islam, Oil, and Fundamentalism in Central Asia, and a correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review. He spoke from Lahore, Pakistan. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.